counts.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And good morning. You're listening to America's Web Radio, and it's time now for the Dan and Dave Show. You just had last week's episode forced down you. Now it's time for the original, live, the brand new show, only on America's Web Radio. And we've got our thousands of people listening to us and excited to find out what Dan and Dave are going to discuss today. Well, our new president seems to always have a lot of things that just seem to disturb people. And, you know, some things happened to me over the weekend, and Dan and I were just talking about them. So we welcome you to the Dan and Dave Show exclusively on America's Web Radio. And this is not a subject that we generally talk about, nor will we talk about it again in any time soon. But over the weekend, night before last, I woke up in excruciating pain. Knew exactly what it was. It's called gout, and you get it when you get older. And it's primarily, you can have it sort of anywhere, but primarily and generally speaking, it's always in the joints of your big toe. And it can be either foot or both feet. And I had a friend, still a friend, that used to have it terribly, and he's a little bit older than I am, which I know everybody finds that hard to believe, but it's the truth. And he would have just, and I couldn't imagine. I kept thinking, "Lol, you know, it can't be that bad." Oh yeah, it's that bad. And other than injections, basically cortisone type injections, there's not much it can do. It's inflammation of the joint, and for some reason, gout attacks the big toe joint and or joints. And what happens is there's a bit of a calcium buildup, and as that joint moves, it's like a grating action that causes a horrendous inflammation. And you can't spray it with WD-40 or anything else. It's just there and huts. And it hurts real bad. Get your attention. And
makes you cry like a little girl, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I've never had it happen like that in the middle of the night. The other thing that was strange was it was my left foot instead of my right foot. I never had it on my left foot. So it came as quite a surprise. And then yesterday, you know, I did the normal treatment of you ice down your foot as best you can, but that didn't seem to cool the joint and bring the relief. And then the other thing, the natural thing that I had read up on many years ago when I had my first gout attack was that you eat dried cherries, and there's something in dried cherries that will relieve the inflammation. And so I started the routine of eating dried cherries, and although it was definitely uncomfortable through the night, I did get through the night and got some sleep. And this was the first time too, and again, my friend had told me about it, and the few times I had experienced it, I never experienced what he was talking about. And but I have now. I have now. Was the fact that just touching your toe or the joint around your toe was extremely painful. You bump into something, and it was like somebody just stuck a knife in you. And I had never experienced that. I'd had the gout. I'd known the soreness to an extent, but certainly not like this time. in my left foot.
Okay, well, so gout, like anything else in life, is a cause and effect. The effect is gout. Let's see if we can find out what Dave's cause was. So in the last 24 or 36 hours, did Dave eat steak or seafood?
In the last how many hours? 48 hours?
Yeah, 48 hours.
Neither.
Did Dave consume any alcoholic beverages, especially beer?
No beer, but I refuse to answer the other question on the grounds that it might tend to incriminate me.
Well, that's the two causes, the two common causes, so the Mayo Clinic says. And they describe gout as uric acid buildup, which forms sharp, needle-like urate crystals in a joint or surrounding tissue. Needle-like urate crystals. Now, that just sounds painful, doesn't it?
And it is, rest assured. Uh-huh. Let me ask, does it say anything about females getting gout, or is it strictly a male thing?
Yeah, it's mostly male.
Yeah, I must say I had never heard of a lady necessarily having gout, but yes, gin and tonic, I will admit to that, but no beer, and steak, what is steak?
Our organ meat, livers, kidneys, hearts.
No. Meat? Meat? Huh? No. In fact, it was a strange weekend, so no, we didn't partake of any of that. I'm trying to think. What did
I think you were innocent and got punished for being innocent. So
probably.
I think your body made a big, big mistake.
Yeah, well, it should get out of mine and go attack somebody else, I guess, huh? That would be fair.
Yeah, pass it off.
Yeah.
Is it contagious?
And I don't know if they said in the article that you're reading, but several years ago when I had my first bout of it, I prefer staying away from a doctor if you can. So I found that one of the best things that a person that has it and or before you have it, really, but is to eat dried cherries. And so I keep quite a supply both at my office and at my home. And yesterday I spent a lot of time eating dried cherries. And like I said, normally it helps, but this time it didn't, was that I'll put an ice pack on to try to calm down the inflammation, cool down the area. But as I mentioned, this was the first time that just touching the spot sent horrendous pain. Normally, I'd put an ice pack on it and it wouldn't hurt and help. And to keep the ice pack on, I'd wrap it in the ace bandage type stuff and sit there lay there and moan and groan and let the ice do its trick. But I couldn't even, if I wrapped the ice pack tight enough to stay on, it caused pain as well because it was touching the even the outside of the skin. So old age.
Coffee and vitamin C are also mentioned as possible helps. Maybe not cures, but helps.
Help coffee and tea. Now I didn't.
Yeah.
I had my coffee, but I didn't drink any
coffee and vitamin C.
Oh, vitamin C, yeah, yeah. Well, yes. I take that daily, but I didn't up the dosage any.
Well, did you take any fruit sugar?
No. However, interestingly enough, didn't
they got the wrong guy?
Didn't it say that it was a calcium buildup?
Yes.
Okay. Well
yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So the antidote, I guess you'd call it, to calcium is magnesium. So I did start taking magnesium more so than I generally take, to try to, again, eliminate the calcium or at least put a blocking action in there. So it's the Dan and Dave Medical Show today. I'm sure people are delighted to hear about it, but there's got to be a bunch of guys out there listening that at one time or the other have suffered from gout, and it's not... And if women, the women listening, if their husbands get gout, it's it ain't a fun and game thing, you know. So be sweet to them.
You know, I just woke up about an hour ago, and I'm still trying to clear my brain. And you're talking about gout, and I'm thinking, I think I'm ready to go back to bed. I don't want to hear this stuff. Monday morning, and you're talking about gout.
Well,
heavens.
You know, it's a very painful issue, and like I said, the only medical thing that I know of is that they can give you a cortisone injection and hope that that will get you over the period of pain. Which I must say I'm not big on cortisone, so I looked. Like I said, the first time I really had a problem, I started looking for alternative answers, and the cherries seemed, interestingly enough, the cherries do seem to work. They're not quite as immediate, and normally, I think, the best I remember, and that seems to be an issue as well these days, but the best I remember, the issue of gout, it gave you some warning. This time, there was no warning other than waking up in the middle of the night and saying, boy, does that ever hurt? And it did. And I, you know, for the rest of Saturday night, Sunday morning, I was looking for alternative ways to try to get past it and sleep, but it was... It wasn't a come-and-go pain. It was a constant pain. When I got up Sunday morning, it was, you know, no doubt what was happening.
Well, there's, as a segue, Dave, into maybe parts of the other program after the break, there's a lot of protesters that feel like they have kind of a gout. They're in a lot of pain also, and I'm sure we'll get into that as the program progresses, but... So maybe your description of gout is a precursor to what's coming on the Dan and Dave Show.
That was a two-wheel segue. I'm impressed. Wow.
You didn't know you were a seg, did you?
No, I was the way. I am the way.
You were the way.
No, we won't go there. Listen, I've had enough news. I don't need to be struck by lightning on a clear day, you know? I think I will try to pass that up.
Better you than me. That's all I got to say this morning is better you than me, buddy.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Anyway, we will take that break, and we'll be back on the Dan and Dave Show, and we'll be talking about what everybody else is talking about right after this.
The disease of addiction is a life-altering challenge, not just for the person suffering its effects, but also for the family and friends who support and love the one caught in its grasp. What should be the course of treatment? Who is the best person to render treatment? And what is the best place to go for the care that is needed? We know that you want answers to these and many more questions. Call 770-696-9862 and speak to a representative of the Atlanta Healing Center. They can tailor a program specifically designed to address the needs of the person suffering with an addiction or give you guidance as to where that help may be found. Information is the key, and the trained staff at AHC is here to assist. If you wish, you can also get more information on the website located at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
Cook Immigration Partners is your passport through the immigration maze. Whether it's help with E-Verify in your business, or help in how to document a new employee under the new I-9 rules, or if you marry a foreign national. Cook Immigration Partners is your best choice for a legal advocate. Call us today at 866-286-6200. That's 866-286-6200, or visit us on the web at www.immigration.net.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on the Dan and Dave Show. And Dan, I know that you took the time. I didn't. My wife did. But I know that you've taken the time to look it up. And there's such a fury of activity going on and criticism and yelling and screaming. And your close friend Schumer, Chuck Schumer, crying episode that I must say I lost my gout and also my lunch when I saw Schumer in his little crying episode. And it's all regarding this the Trump immigration vetting situation, which, you know, I've gone back and forth a little bit on it. My first impression was, damn right, we need it. Then I came back and said, well, you know, maybe it is unfair. Then I'm back to the point now that it's not only fair, it's more than fair. And the bottom line is, do we want people coming into our country that we know nothing about, that are from terrorist-supporting countries, and Al-Qaeda and ISIS and every other Taliban and all the rest of them have said, you know, we want to kill the United States. We want to destroy the United States. We want the United States under Sharia law. And we're going to do it. We're going to infiltrate and take over the United States. Well, that's not exactly at the top of my list. So you go in and you say, well, how can we prevent this? And I heard last night, and I haven't verified it, but on one of the channels that I was watching, I had no idea the number of people that try to get into the United States via airports, boats, whatever, on a daily basis. And I'm not going to quote the figure because, you know, I would like to verify it before I put it out. But it was on a daily basis, just an absolutely staggering number, beyond staggering, just unimaginable. So I totally 100% support Trump, support Customs, support anybody else that's involved with vetting these people. And, you know, we've got a big thing going on between what's a right and what's a privilege. It's not your right, if you're from Syria or any place else, it's not your right to come to the United States. It's a privilege that we offer you to come, to get a job, to get a green card, to whatever and whatever. And if you're not worthy of it, it's our right to say, no, you can't come in. You've been a bad boy or girl. So we need to get our definition straight on what is right, what is a right, and what is a privilege. It's our right as the United States, both the president's and constitutionally right, or in our Constitution to say, we're a sovereign country, and if we don't want you, you can't come in. So let's look at what's going on with all of this junk about how terrible we are.
You do know that our nation has been built by immigrants.
Sure.
We're a country of immigrants.
Sure. Nobody's questioning that.
But it sounds like what you would really like to do is to build a wall, not only on the Mexican side, but on the Pacific, Atlantic, and Canadian side.
No. No, I'm just saying that I want to check you out before I let you come into our country. I'm not trying to keep you out. I just want to know who the hell you are. And if you're a crook...
A bunch of people that tried to get in over the weekend were vetted. They had already been vetted and cleared and were on airplanes headed to this country, and they were turned around and told they couldn't come into the country.
Well, I think there's a misnomer there. They were vetted by their country, not by our country.
Well, they were vetted by CIA agents in their country, according to articles that I read in 60 Minutes last night. But, you know, I think there is a lot of misunderstanding. Let's lay some basics down for our intelligent audience. And this affects seven countries: Iran, Iraq, Syria, Sudan, Libya, Yemen, and Somalia.
And who chose those countries?
Well, I'm sure that you're going to say President Obama did, but it was the countries on this list were chosen by Trump's panel.
No. Obama had chosen them before Trump was elected, and Trump went along with his choice. It was not Trump that did it, and it was not his committee or anything else. It was Obama's list of terrorist country, and that's what he went along. What Trump went along with.
Well, Trump might have adapted a list that Obama had drawn up, but don't pull a Bush did this to us.
No, I'm not pulling. I'm not pulling anything.
This was
Trump's
decision.
Yes, his decision to use
it. Seven countries.
Right, his decision to use it, but it was initially the list was initially formulated by Obama, which doesn't make any difference.
Okay.
I don't care if Trump adds 20 more countries to it. If he feels like there's a reason to, that's his right.
Okay, and there is the complete document on CNN.com, which I would invite people to go to and read. I'm not going to read it, but it's a fairly short document. It goes into the purpose, the policy, how visas are supposed to be suspended, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a well-stated document. Probably will make some sense if you read through it. What struck me, Dave, was that Trump kind of pulled this, and I don't think he really told some of his other agencies what he was doing. So it surprised a bunch of people, government people as well as non-government. And I've thought about, you know, maybe he should have given a week's notice. However, a week's notice, you know, the bad guys might take advantage of that and say, well, we better get over there. Doors are going to close in a week. So he probably had to initiate it immediately, but I think he could have done a better job of integrating it into his policy. There's a lot of people that think it's a bad decision. A lot of people.
Well, screw them.
Pardon?
Screw them. Do they want to invite him into their house and let him stay at their house to find out whether they're killers or not?
Well, it's not like there's been a bunch of people from those countries that have come in and done wrong.
It only takes one.
Matter of fact, nobody from any of these countries have come into the country and done wrong, as far as I'm aware.
It only takes one.
Well, but a whole bunch of innocent people are being punished in this circumstance. A whole bunch of people that have been waited months and months and months to come into this country, and now they're being told no. So this is a, 120-day ban?
Yeah, this isn't a permanent thing. It can be changed.
No, it's not.
And you know, I have no problems with it at all. And I think that, in fact, I think cool heads would say, you know, let's back off and get a good handle on exactly what we're doing. Let's don't just steamboat ahead and you know, hellfire and damnation, let's go. I think backing off, and by the way, Trump had, you were talking about giving notice. He gave notice. He's given notice for 6 months or a year that one of the first things he was going to do was go to extreme vetting. And so he's just making good on what he had said he was going to do, and he's doing it. So,
it looks to me like he's given himself 120 days to come up with a plan.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that, and I bet his people will, or be fired, one or the other. Be interesting too. He's supposed to announce now, possibly as early as tonight. And no later than Thursday, his decision on a Supreme Court nominee. And I think that will be very interesting. My friend that's on the Fifth Circuit, that's the chief jurist on the Fifth Circuit, I say my friend, acquaintance. We used to be friends when we were in grade school and high school. Jerry Smith, unfortunately, is... He's like I am. He's too old to be nominated. Trump wanted someone in their late 40s to early 50s for a nominee, so they'll be there a while. And that's the list that he's put together, I think. So it should be interesting, very interesting.
Well, and a lot of people are saying this is a Muslim ban.
No, it's not. It's a country ban.
Yeah, well, it's a safety ban. It's a danger ban. We're trying to keep our country safe, but it does look like a Muslim ban, since all of these countries are majority Muslim countries.
Well, gee.
And actually, they're Shiite based countries too. The Sunni countries of Saudi Arabia, Egypt and Pakistan can still come in.
Well, I've heard a lot about that Saudi Arabia and Pakistan should have the same, which I agree. They should be vetted. The 9/11 was caused by Muslims from Saudi Arabia. So,
yes, they should be.
I couldn't agree more. But, you know, I wasn't asked again.
Well,
I'm not sure why I'm not getting that call from the White House.
I think we're going to see continual demonstrations in Portland for the next foreseeable future. I think Trump is just going to keep dealing out issues that people here in Portland are going to demonstrate against. We had a big demonstration at the airport the last two nights. They basically shut down the airport, temporarily. They were stopping cars at the arrival and departure gates, at the arrival gate. They were stopping traffic. Mm-hmm. You couldn't pick up your wife or your loved one.
I'm totally opposed to that kind of stuff.
They have every
right to protest. They have every right to march in an empty parking lot or wherever they want to march. But when it interferes with me, that's where their rights stop. So, with that being said, it's time to take a break. We'll be back on the Dan and Dave Show right after this.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on americaswebradio.com.
Your auto love and investment demands the best, and for 45 years, Passport Transport has been meeting those demands. From manufacturers to the one-car collectors and all other facets of the auto industry and antique auto hobby. The first and the finest with unequaled service and peace of mind. Passport Transport, your auto transportation company. Contact PassportTransport.com with your need today. Passport Transport.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on the Dan and Dave Show with Dan, the man from the left coast, and Dave from the right coast. So we got the coast
covered. I promised you a metaphor or an analogy here. So
or something that would upset me.
Are we on a delay, a 5-second delay, or can I use...
No, actually, we're a
language.
No, we're on a 5-second before the words come out. Listen, it took me years to figure out. Anybody can do a delay, but to do it where it's 5 seconds in advance, that took me some time.
Did you ever figure it out?
Certainly. That's why people know when to turn the show off 5 seconds ahead of it ever coming out.
I think I heard a bunch of clicks.
You got it.
People turning the knob. So anyway, you've got gout in that in your left great toe, right?
I've got gout.
So I come in. I got my chisel and my hammer. Whack! That toe has been separated from the foot. Now I probably did the right thing, but did I do it in the right way? See, I think that's what Trump does. He takes his chisel and hammer and whack. I think he needs to spend more time selling his ideas to the public. And if he's going to bring this country together, I think he's going to have to do a great, great sales job on about 50% of the population.
No, you were, I'll give you this. You were right about the chisel and the hammer. And I think where that chisel and hammer are going to be applied is Sandreas' fault. And go ahead and let California and the West Coast just go ahead and float out into the Pacific.
Well, now, if we would float out into the Pacific, we could be a vacation spot for the rest of the country.
Oh, no, you all will tilt at some point, and there you go.
Yeah. Most of the radicals are on the right coast, though, aren't they?
Hello?
Up in your neck of the woods? Anyway, I just feel like Trump has done something. He may have taken the correct step, but in his Trumpian ways, he's done it very harshly.
Trumpian ways?
Yeah.
Have we just come up with a new term, Trumpian?
Yeah.
Trumpolian?
Trumpolian?
Trumpet if you like it?
He needs to back off. He needs to get more consensus, I think. And I don't like that word because that sounds like he would be watering down his ideas. I just think he needs to be a salesman. I think there's a lot of people that might go along with some more of his stuff. but he needs to sell it. You know, he needs to sell it.
Well, some people
that he surrounded himself with are not great salespeople. They're type D people. They're action takers, but they're not too big on considering feelings of other people.
Okay. Well, you might be right.
I brought up the word feeling, and I know you're going to have an objection to that word. Go ahead.
Why?
Object.
Why do you say that? I have feelings. In some ways, I sort of agree with you. In other ways, I think we've in some ways run around the subject and talked about it. Our society today has had 8 years of a massage job. And I think one of the reasons that Trump won was that he slapped a lot of people upside the head with a 2x4 and got their attention. And I think he needs to do that. You know, one thing I find interesting about Trump and the things that he's done to date, and I guess this makes him a good negotiator, and I don't want to give exact examples, but the immigration thing is an example of it. Whatever he's done, it seems that there's always a back door, that not an escape route, but a way that he can get out of what he has just done and leaves the door open where it's subject to change. And I think, in my opinion, I think that's pretty good. I think he wouldn't be where he is today if he was dumb, if he was stupid. And I think as time goes on, he may moderate and not be quite as blunt or quite as whatever you want to call it as he is today. But at the same token, I think a lot of people that voted for him, that's what they wanted, is somebody that'll stand up and do something. Do something even if it's wrong. Whereas what we've had over the last 8 years is the strongest he's ever got was, I'm going to draw a red line in the sand, and then we all sat back and watch that red line being marched all over, and he did nothing.
Well, your point there is well taken, and I think the country needed to see an action taker in the office. The situation with Mexico, I think, is an example of what you're talking about, leaving a back door open. You know, he hasn't ended his relationship with Mexico. He's just wanting to make them look at the subject in a little bit different light. And I think that's why he's been a successful negotiator, is he probably, you know, that first statement is going to be a harsh one, and then he, you know, is willing to give more than he says he would initially.
Yeah, if you don't like it this way, how about this way?
Yeah, let's look at it this way, yeah. I'm just afraid that tequila and Tecate beer is going to go up in price.
How about Corona?
Corona is going to go up in price. That's not fair. I mean, that hurts. That really hurts.
So,
we went out and had Mexican food a couple of nights ago, and I didn't get any beer, but it made me want a Tecate or a Corona, just because I knew that it was probably going to go up in price.
Well, you shouldn't mix it with the five margaritas that you had.
That's true. I needed a beer chaser.
Yeah.
Boy, these Mexican food restaurants have big margaritas, don't they? Goodness,
I tell you what, you're making me hungry and extremely thirsty, and it's only 11 o'clock here, so, you know. Who's going to take me to Mexican food for lunch today and pour me into the house this afternoon?
Well, let's see, that's a recipe for gout right there. Yeah.
It's a fine, fine recipe. No, yeah, you said beer. I'll forego the beer and just go straight to the margaritas.
Well, yeah, alcoholic beverage or beer, and beer, / beer.
All right, I'll drink all sangria.
Or fructose.
Well.
High sugar, and I think sangria seems to me it's probably got a lot of sugar in it.
Well, darn, you've just cut my fun all to pieces.
Yeah, I'd suggest buttermilk to you.
Buttermilk?
I'm not even sure buttermilk would be a good drink. You better just stick to water, buddy.
Do you like... there's one thing that I cannot stand beverage-wise. Well, there are a number, but one of the most is buttermilk. Ugh. I never, ever understood how my mother could drink that stuff. It's obnoxious looking. It's obnoxious smelling. And heaven forbid, you know, that if somebody put a quart of buttermilk in front of me, that would be waterboarding to me.
You would spill your guts, huh? Literally as well as figuratively.
Absolutely. Hey, I'll tell you anything. Just don't make me drink that stuff. I'll tell you anything you want to know. Just don't make me drink that buttermilk.
There's a big trend now towards fermented foods, and buttermilk is just fermented. I think buttermilk's healthy. I think it gets the fauna and the flora in your tummy back on a even keel. It has something to do with health.
It may be the best thing.
We're talking about this guy Trump who got elected or not.
And he doesn't drink buttermilk. He's a real man.
We don't even know if he got elected, really.
Yes, we do.
He got elected by the Electoral College. I'm not disputing that.
A majority.
But I'm talking about the people.
He got elected. You know.
Not by the people.
Have you ever heard there's more than one way to skin a cat?
Yeah.
Well, figure it out. I think he knew that going in. I think he, you know, he played by the rules, and he won. And that's sort of the end of the statement, really. And he got plenty of popular votes, you know. By the way, what's your girlfriend doing these days?
I think you must be talking about Hillary Clinton.
You got it, brother. We got pictures of you and Hillary.
She's probably on vacation.
I heard that she was in a mental institution at the moment, going through some kind of therapy.
Whoa! Really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can get that rumor started. She's not in a mental institution.
I'll put it on Facebook. Is Hillary really in a mental institute going through therapy?
Yeah, let's get something started here, right?
Okay, well, I just realized it's time to take our last break. So that's what we're going to do.
Right.
We'll be back on the Dan and Dave Show right after this.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree ENT Center. We've won patient care awards and have the highest patient recommendations because we believe in practicing medicine the old-fashioned way. Practicing good medicine is based in listening to the patient and making a care plan that is individual. The best medical care is given when there is a strong doctor-patient relationship built on mutual trust and respect. At Peachtree ENT Center, we believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. Whether you have problems hearing, have frequent throat or sinus infections, from the time you call our office and speak to a real person, you will be treated as an individual and not as an ailment. During your visit, you will not be rushed, and all your questions will be answered. When possible, natural treatments will be recommended to fix the problem. If surgery is recommended, cost-effective, minimally invasive treatment for snoring, sleep apnea, or sinus problems will be offered because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
This is Skip Coriel, host of the Home Defense Show on America's Web Radio. Join me every week as we explore all aspects of home and family defense as we strive to defend the ones we love in an ever-changing and volatile world.
This is Lawyer Liz. Join me each week as we discuss drones, the Internet of Things, and all the technology in between. It's Buzz Off with Lawyer Liz, Wednesdays at 2.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And welcome back to the only Dan and Dave show you should listen to, and it's only on America's Web Radio. And we're glad to have you listening in. I hope that we're entertaining you. Isn't it nice to know that more people are taking the Dan and Dave to the bathroom with them than they are magazines? Did you know that?
Well, I think it would be fun to know that you could actually tune into a radio show and know a hell of a lot more than the people on the radio. You know.
Wait a second, I got to figure that one out.
I think our audience, their combined IQ is probably much, much higher than our average IQ.
I don't know what you're... They didn't go to Texas Tech.
I know, but wait a minute. What is your IQ? You give me your IQ, and I'll add mine to it and divide by two, and then we'll have a number.
12.5.
12.5. Well, I'm a 13, so that's 13 and 12.5. Let's see. 13, carry your one.
I know. That's a challenge.
Well, it's a number.
Well, you got to cut off your little toe to figure it out.
Starbucks' decision to hire 10,000 refugees over the next 5 years.
You know, I think I've mentioned this on the air before. I am not a Starbucks fan, and anybody that comes into the studio with a big Starbucks cup of coffee or whatever it is, I look at them and think, you're sort of stupid. You just paid $5 for something that cost maybe 15 cents. How stupid. And it's not that I haven't had the Starbucks. We were staying in, where were we? And it wasn't that long ago. Oh, my goodness. It's already setting in. Where were we? We were staying in a hotel.
I can't remember.
I think it was when we were in Hawaii the last time. But anyway, the hotel we were staying in, the only choice you had was Starbucks, Starbucks, or Starbucks. And that was their little eating breakfast facility thing, and you could go and get. I must say that I like some of the Starbucks pastries. But if you were going to eat at that hotel for breakfast, it was Starbucks, Starbucks, or Starbucks. It was Hawaii. I've had Starbucks a number of times, but I really feel a bit stupid paying $3, $4, $5, $6 for a cup of coffee that costs, at most 50 cents. At most. And certainly I understand that, they have to make money and they have their people working and all this kind of stuff. But it's sort of like over, I don't know what it is in Portland, but there's been a trend here in Atlanta that you order a glass of iced tea and it's anywhere now from $2 to $3. And iced tea is even cheaper than coffee. And I can't bring myself to pay $3 or $4 for a glass of iced tea. I guess it's something in my, I'm very tight, or it's just something in my system that says, you know, that, and I don't, I'm not suggesting they should give it away, but just be reasonable. And certainly for a small restaurant, that is a lot of their profit, is you ordering a glass of iced tea or a drink or something like that.
Oh, you bet. While you were talking, just to let you know, I just went to Hillary Clinton's Facebook page and liked, hit the like button. So
you really do have a thing for her, don't you?
Well, she's kind of cute. You know, she's kind of got a smile. But, you know, no, I feel sorry for the lady.
She's a loser.
Well,
I must say, I would delight. This is terrible. I know where I'm going for this statement, and it's not going to be particularly cool, I don't think. But I'd just like to go up to her and just point my finger and say, "You're a loser." That's not nice, I know.
No, you're mean.
I know.
Yeah, where you're going, it's hot in the wintertime and in the summertime.
Extremely. And they don't bless you with any water either, I don't think.
Yeah, we're not talking Hawaii.
We're not talking Hawaii or anything like it. It's just, oh well.
Well, it's been an interesting show today. We've gone the whole gamut from gout to Hillary to whatever. I hope our listeners are now more educated on the Trump policy and understand what it means to be a Trumpite.
What was the first one you said? Trumpian or something? And now it's a Trumpian, Trumpite?
I think Trumpite.
Trumpite.
You're a Trumpite, I guess.
That sounds like something you'd put in concrete, doesn't it? Some kind of rock formation or something. Or something hanging down from a cave.
There you go. Yeah.
Stalagmite. Stalactite,
yeah, you have
and
a, Trumpite. A Trumpite and a Trumpmite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in other words,
it's going to make us dizzy here on the Dan and Dave Show. What's going to happen over the next 4 years with Mr. Trump, President Trump? It's going to be dizzying, and the man doesn't take a break. I mean, he's not going to take a long vacation and play golf 4 times a week.
When Obama work?
Well, fortunately, he didn't.
You think it'd have been scarier if he had?
I think it would have been.
I think you're probably right.
My fear is now what for Obama? What's he going to do? And what's Michelle going to do?
Go be ugly.
Oh, dear.
She's going to master the ugly stick.
Hello?
That's all right. Those footsteps that you hear is me running out of the office trying to protect myself with gout. For fear that Michelle may be coming after me.
Well, if our audience wants to send a Get Well card, how do we get the Get Well card to Dave on the Dan and Dave
show? Nah, we don't do that. Plus, I don't think my mother could do it anyway, and that's our only listener. So I was just thinking about who's is Michelle going to con the next trip out of? She's been sucking on the taxpayers' contributions to take all these wild and famous trips. I think it's nice that you've offered to donate to her and that you'll pay for her trips if she needs to go somewhere. But other than that, who's she going to be getting her money from?
Yeah, good question. It takes a lot of money to be an Obama. I know that. You know, they'll probably start a foundation. They're pretty young.
Yeah.
They could do a foundation and...
and challenge the Clintons.
Yeah, I think they could. I think they could do pretty good.
Well, pretty good. You know, the rumor is that Michelle will run for president one of these days.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
I just don't think I could bring myself to vote for her. Can you imagine that?
Maybe by the time Trump's finished with us, we won't be voting for anything.
Oh, you know, I just don't. I think people have the wrong impression, I don't believe that. I think there's a that he. I think it's going to take somebody like him, and. Hopefully he will turn the country around. We should be standing on our own two feet. We should be producing oil and producing. We should be self-sufficient, except where we want to be less self-sufficient, and maybe oil is one of those areas. But for the most part, I guess people were on his case. But if you listen to it today, his explanation of why would we, you know, that pipeline is huge in diameter. It doesn't just go on your average rowboat to get over here. And to bring it in from another country when we're quite capable of building the pipeline ourselves, the literal pipe, it just didn't make any sense. It ran the costs up and everything else. So why not build a pipe in the United States, glue it together in the United States, and let it be a United States project? What is wrong with that?
Where was the
pipe going to be built? Probably China, but not necessarily, but probably China. And it's like, you know, the boat to bring it over here piece by piece, and he pointed out a very good thing. You can make larger and longer pipe transported a shorter distance here in the United States than to bring in shorter pipe built someplace else. And then the more wells you have, the more subject is to a problem. So all of that makes perfect sense. He also has the F-35 back online, saving money. And has gotten it moving. That's going to be such an outstanding fighter jet. Wow! I mean, it's just incredible. And he's got it back to where it can be built at some kind of feasible price. And I don't think he's the greatest thing.
Is he going to run out of things to do? I mean, he's only been office 7 days. And is his list going to be, you know, what's he going to do after a month or two?
I don't know, but we'll have to find out next week as it's time to put the plug in the jug. We're going to get out of here, Dan. Thanks for another good show.
Yeah.
Take care.
Thanks, Dave. Take care of that toe.
You got it.